So having our hearts softened through worship, singing, and prayer, we're now ready to hear God's word. We continue our Lenten journey with Jesus, heading now to the cross of our Lord as we continue to hear his stories and teachings through the Gospel of John. So reading now from John chapter 13, verses 31 to 38. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I'll be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I was reflecting on this particular story last week, I was thinking about last words, the last words that we say to people when we're leaving, when we say goodbye. And I thought about the last words that I said to my first church over 6 years ago now, Agassiz Christian Reformed Church in BC. It was my first time having to say goodbye to a church family, and it was hard. I loved those people, but I knew it was time to move on. And I thought, how do I say goodbye to them? What should be my last words to this congregation? After considerable prayer and reflection, I felt called to say my last words to them through a sermon series based on John's first letter, where we hear words like these. "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." And so through verses like these from 1 John, I was able to say goodbye, I think in a meaningful way, basically saying to these people, "I'm leaving. Remember, God loves you, so now love one another." Fitting last words, I think, for a pastor leaving a church. Fitting last words as Jesus prepares to go to the cross. Now last week we heard the story of how Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And I'm wondering, as we reflect on that story again, which is the context for today's story, Jesus washed our feet through the cross. And I'm wondering, how have you now gone and washed one another's feet? Because that was the command that Jesus gave. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He washes our feet through the cross, and now we're called to wash one another's feet. So whose feet have you washed recently? Today Jesus continues that foot-washing conversation, but now he goes on to speak more directly. Last time it was, "I've washed your feet, now go wash other people's feet, go serve them." Today he says, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." A pretty straightforward command. Now, if you have your Bibles open, you'll see that the context of this story is just that Judas leaves the table. The disciples and Jesus are having their last supper together. Judas leaves the table, and what is he going to do? He's going to betray Jesus. And then Jesus says these fitting and powerful words. "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." I found that pretty profound this week. thinking that Jesus could say that just after he knew that Judas was on his way to betray him. So Jesus continues his conversation with the disciples. And if you look through the Gospel of John, in this particular section, he says a lot of words to the disciples, his last words to them before he goes to the cross. So what does he say? What are some of these words that Jesus goes on to say to his disciples? And as I was thinking about these Jesus' final words, I thought of the final words that we say to each other, especially the final words that maybe parents say to their kids before heading out for an evening out, like going on a date. The parents and the children will know what I'm talking about here. What words do you say to your kids before you leave? Be good. Be good. I like this, and I was thinking, like, okay, this is interesting, isn't it? Just imagine this. You're heading out on a date with your spouse, and it's been a long time, and you really need to listen to each other for a while. You've been so full. Your life's been busy. You say to your kids, okay, kids, we're heading out now. So-and-so is here to take care of you. I know you're going to have a great evening with so-and-so if you listen to her. And I know, right? And I know you're going to have a great evening if you love one another. Right? Parents all have said this, and the kids have received it, so we're all on the same page. I thought this real-life situation may help us understand a little bit what's going on in our story. Jesus is going away. Where is he going? He's going to the cross, where he would die for the sins of the world, for our sins. Now, this hasn't happened yet, but it's coming. And the way Jesus speaks in this passage, especially early on, in verses 31 to 32, it is imminent. In fact, Jesus almost, he speaks in the past tense in a few places here, like it has happened. It is so imminent, and it is so real. It's going to happen soon. And the first thing Jesus says is that through my death, I will be glorified, and the Father will be glorified. We will be lifted up so all can see who we are and they can worship God and come to him and receive salvation. It's quite a beautiful thought. And then Jesus goes on to say, I'm only with you a little longer, disciples. You're going to wonder where I've gone, even though I've already told you. But remember, I'm headed to the cross. And that's a journey I have to go alone. You can't come with me. You'll follow later. You'll have your own death, and you'll have to suffer for me one day as my disciples. But for now, this is my journey that I must take for you. And then after making it clear he's going to the cross, Jesus gives a few more final words, which he calls his new command. Love one another. Now, if you think about it, this isn't really a new command, is it? Already way back, hundreds of years ago, in the book of Leviticus, God said to his people, love your neighbors as yourself, because I am the Lord your God. That's what he says. And now Jesus reissues this command to love others and gives a new reason for it. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus loves us through the cross. And in response to his love, we're called to love one another. Now, I don't think Peter quite understands this yet. He wants to love Jesus like this. He wants to be able to give Jesus everything, right? Lord, I'll lay down my life for you. Peter has such good intentions, but he doesn't quite get it yet. In fact, Jesus says, okay, Peter, I know that you want to do this for me, but I hate to say this, but you know what? You are going to betray me soon. So you're not ready yet. You're not ready to sacrifice your life for me, but you'll get there with my help. And then, of course, as we go on into the biblical story, we do know that Peter does betray Jesus three times, fulfilling Jesus' own words. And it's a tragic story in a way, except that Peter is eventually restored. As you may recall, he comes back to God. He repents of his sin of betrayal, and Jesus gladly welcomes him in after his resurrection. And after being reinstated, what does Jesus say? Go and feed my sheep. In other words, go love others. Right? So it's actually a beautiful story in the end. Peter becomes so overwhelmed by God's love shown through Jesus' death that he can't help but love other people. And this is our story too, is it not? Just wanting, like wanting to love God, but struggling to do it. Being distracted by the pleasures and distractions of the world. Getting caught up going our own way, thinking that our way is better than God's way. Sort of betraying our Lord. And then coming to our senses, coming into the sanctuary, experiencing the cross of Christ once again, seeing it, recognizing that we're sinners in need of a Savior. Coming here every Sunday, which is Resurrection Day, we're being reminded that Jesus did die for our sins on the cross and that he rose again so we could have new life in him. Receiving God's love in the sanctuary and through his word. And then responding to God's love again. Isn't this our story too? As you think about it, this is Israel's story in the Old Testament. Going away, coming back again, over and over and over again. And Israel came back when they experienced God's love and faithfulness, his forgiveness in the sanctuary, or in their worship and in their life. Peter's story is the same, and this is our story too. And happily, you know, as we see Judas betray our Lord, his Lord, as we see Jesus love the disciples, as we see Peter betray Jesus and then come back, we are given a new chance, a fresh new start to follow Jesus again. Today we have learned from Jesus that some of his very important last words are this: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. How does this happen? How can we actually love one another? This may be the hardest command to obey, because we like to go our own way. In fact, I was struck again last week. The writers of our beloved Heidelberg Catechism, when they talk about sin and misery, they say, how does this work? Well, it's our sinful human nature that causes us to go our own way. We think we know what's best. We think we know better than God. In fact, the writers of the Catechism say this: it is my natural tendency to hate God and my neighbor. That line has always struck me. That is our natural tendency, left on our own devices, without worshiping God, without God's salvation, is just to go our own way and to love ourselves first and foremost. So what does loving others look like? Jesus models it for us. He lays down his life for us. We too are called to lay down our lives for others. So what does that look like today? Perhaps we could sum it up by saying we put others first. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus puts us first when he goes to the cross. We're helpless on our own. We cannot save ourselves. He puts us first. He obeys his Father and puts us first by going to the cross. And now he calls us to put each other first. How does that work? How can I possibly put others first when I am so consumed with myself? Only when our hearts are melted and moved by the gospel, only when we are so touched by Jesus' death on the cross, only then can we actually start to put others first, because we realize the depths of God's love, just how much He loved us to send His Son. So brothers and sisters, I urge you to look to the cross again. Look to the cross of Christ. Realize your own tendency to go your own way. All of us have it. We're all sinful humans. Look to the cross of Christ as the only way to salvation. Accept Jesus' death for you and then submit, surrender to it. Feel it. Just feel the love that God has for you through the cross of Christ. Only then, after our hearts have been melted and moved by His love, only then is there any hope of actually being able to love one another well and consistently. And thankfully, that is exactly what has happened today, has it not? We've come into the sanctuary, we've received God's love again. We've experienced God's grace through the sacrament, the overflowing grace through baptism. We've been renewed by His grace, and we have heard His gospel again. So we know without a shadow of a doubt that we are sinners, that we're sinners in need of a Savior, and that Savior has come, Jesus Christ our Lord. So our hearts are softened. We are receiving this gospel, this good news once again. And we begin this path, I like to call it sort of a pilgrimage of love. This journey of love towards Jesus and others. So let us have open hands and open hearts, open ears to receive the good news today. Let us turn from our sin and selfishness. Let us turn to Jesus. Let's imagine Him on the cross. And we're journeying towards Good Friday. We're journeying towards the cross. Let us keep Jesus and the cross on the forefront of our minds in this Lenten season and beyond. And let's remember that Jesus died for us, not only for the disciples, as He talks about. He also died for us, for our sins too, so we can have fellowship with God and with each other. And happily, if you're still thinking, well, how can I do this? This seems impossible. If you look just shortly after this story, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And what is the job of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit does many things, but one of His primary jobs is to remind us of God's love through Christ. He's constantly saying, Jesus died for you. You're forgiven and set free. God the Father loves you. You belong to God. How will you respond now to that reminder of the Holy Spirit? Jesus loves us through the cross, and in response to His love, we're called to love one another. So let us together, we've made these baptismal vows to Lily today. Let us help each other. Let us help Lily and her family. Let us also help each other to move forward on this journey of love, constantly setting our eyes together on Jesus, encouraging each other in the faith, helping us to do what's right and to receive God's love. And out of gratitude for God's love, we then respond by loving others through the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank You for revealing Your love to us once again through the cross of Christ. This is a story that never grows old for us, because we desperately need the reminder of the good news that we are sinners saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. So Lord, thank You for reminding us of Your grace today. Thank You for helping us to receive it. Thank You for pouring out Your love to us through the Holy Spirit. Now help us to respond in the way you call us to. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. We commit our lives to you and ask that you help us now as we love each other in this place, but also as we go out and love each other in the world, also our neighbors and colleagues, classmates and friends. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.